Thank you, people, for waiting. 20 minutes goes a lot slower when you're waiting for the clock to tick over, don't it? So firstly, I wish to declare that I do not have a financial interest in any item that's being discussed tonight. I open the meeting today at 5:30. I acknowledge the Berriella people on whose land we are now meeting and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And once again, I acknowledge our Freeman, Arnold Carter, and I thank everyone for coming so close to Christmas. I'm sure everyone has other things to do, so thank you very much for your attendance here tonight. I'll go through the process. The recording of attendance is set out. Attendance by phone, nil. Apologies, nil. Approval of leave, nil. Disclosure of interest, nil. Application for leave of absence, nil. Response to previous questions is nil. Public time. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed live as an additional record of the meeting and to assist the minute-taking purposes, for which may be released upon request by a third party. If you do not give your permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, no one shall use a visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with section 6.17, subsection 4 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws and standing orders, mobile phones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. In accordance with section 6.7.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place it in the completed form in the tray provided. If the presiding officer determines that questions or statements are out of order due to the use of offensive or objectionable expressions or are defamatory, they will not be recorded or responded to. I now ask if anyone has any questions. Nobody. So, 5. I close question time at 5:32. I now declare public statement time open. Does anyone have a public statement they wish to make? Yeah. If you could give your name and please and address.
Good evening, my name is Maura Glow. My address is 88 Anderson Residential Address, Business Address 220 Wedge Street. And I'm making a statement as principal of Hedland First National.
Okay.
I wish to bring to the attention of council the continuing and increasing rise in all types of property insurance in Port Hedland, and indeed the risk to future growth of the town if no solution is found to what is essentially market failure. I acknowledge that this is not the responsibility of local government to police the insurance industry. But on behalf of local property areas, owners, the consequences of ignoring the impact of rising costs insuring property of all class types will, however, negatively impact on every aspect of life in the Pilbara, and as a consequence, threaten the continued economic viability of this town and its future growth as a desirable living location. The Australian insurance market is underwritten by four key market participants who are now limiting their exposure to Northern Australia, and they either refuse to participate or do so by offering premiums which are significantly higher than in previous years. And now we are seeing premiums for multi-unit complexes increase up to by 300% in some instances, and an outright refusal to insure buildings with a replacement value of over 30 million. However, smaller complexes are also facing increases, with some recent examples being a small group of five commercial buildings on Anderson Street being rejected by the underwriters, but we found one who accepted with a price increase from last year of 14,000 to 41,000. Or a small residential complex increasing from 39,000 to 71,000. In the last 2 weeks, we had a larger complex increase from 160,000 a year to 560,000 a year. The only description of the current situation is that it is catastrophic for some property owners. You may be aware that there has been a Senate inquiry and a three-year AAA inquiry into this issue, with, it has been said, most of the emphasis on Northern Australia due to the greater population base, therefore the greater population clout. An option floated by the ACCC was that some form of government intervention is required to underwrite risks that the private sector will not, and suggestions include a government-backed reinsurance pool or insurance mutual. I've got an article in the Fin Review last month on this issue with the heading Deep North's Insurance Crisis. Every word of this applies to Port Hedland as well. The insurance companies have been making it very clear that going forward they don't like the Northern Australia risk profile and anticipate climate change resulting in increasing extreme climatic activity. I've been trying to highlight this coming issue for the last decade, but now we need action at both local and state government levels to come up with a plan for the future. Otherwise, this town will have no future other than as a mining camp, as it won't be economically sustainable with any other type of residency. I'm also highlighting this so that it is considered within the context of Town of Port Hedland rate increases in the future. We already see some commercial tenants paying more in outgoings for insurance than they do for rates. Whilst the local economy was able to understand these imposts during the boom years, all attempts to normalise, diversify or grow the economy are guaranteed to fail unless the insurance issue is addressed on this factor, cost factor into all sustainable models going forward. I would suggest that when we're looking at the development of what is called East Port Hedland, that this insurance issue is actually brought into the planning process. I spoke with Minister Stephen Dawson yesterday, and so that he can make Cabinet aware of the crisis that is in front of us. It is a federal government issue, basically, but it is worth noting that in the federal inquiries that we've had in previous years, I have been, on the whole, the only voice putting forward the position of Northwest Australia. So my appeal tonight is to Council to actually pressurise the state government that this issue is brought to the fore and we actually work together to come up with some solution. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much for that. I can guarantee we will add our voice to your voice in relation to trying to come up with a solution with state and federal governments. It's appalling that people are faced with this sort of situation. It's very disappointing that, you know, for years and years the insurance companies have been taking our money for insurance, and all of a sudden now, when some high enhanced risk, I suppose, they want to price us out of the market. I'm more than happy to. We have made a submission to that inquiry, and we will. We can give you a copy, can we? Of that.
Sure,
we can give you a copy of that. And we will once again write to the federal and state governments, apprising them or confirming to them the urgency of trying to get some action done. Okay.
Currently, most of the underwriting is done out of London, Lloyd's of London, and because the local underwriters really don't want to be in this locality. In February, early March next year, we actually have representatives from Lloyd's coming to town because we've been trying to get them to come and actually see for themselves how low a risk it is in the overall book of insurance in Fort Headland. So we will make sure that you're included in that discussion.
Yeah, thanks. So it'll be good to kind of work together. Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There's been fires on the East Coast.
It's
gone up here as well, so you'll see that again.
Yeah, it is also interesting that when you have fires in the eastern states, our rates go up as well.
So. Insurance rates.
Is there any other people who might make statements? Yeah, could you just go to the and give your name and address if you could, thanks.
Good afternoon, my name's Adam, number 5, Morgan Loop, South Headland. I'm here on behalf of Port Headland Yacht Club. We've just had our AGM and the new committee would like to make a statement to the council.
Certainly.
So on behalf of the committee of the Port Headland Yacht Club and in my capacity as Vice Commodore, I would like to now address this meeting in the spirit of mutual cooperation with the town of Port Headland. With the coming new decade, we are set to embark on a new era of management at the club. This year we've taken great steps towards greater accountability and management, with the introduction of a general manager, a full and complete financial audit, and on Sunday last, the club elected a full committee for the first time in many years. We believe that we are now able to meet our long overdue reporting commitments of our loan agreement with the town of Port Headland. The marina draft plan supplied by the town of Port Headland was on display at the Yacht Club AGM on Sunday, and I'm pleased to say that it was well received by our members. Immediately after the AGM, the committee agreed upon the following statement. The 2020 Port Headland Yacht Club Committee wishes to express its support for Spoilbank Marina Precinct landside development and looks forward to developing its own role in the Marina Precinct in cooperation with the Town of Port Headland and the State Government. The development of the Marina Precinct will breathe new life into the club and surrounding area, and we are excited by the prospect of bringing in new and better services to the users of the Marina Precinct and the Spoilbank Reserve. And lastly, the PHYC is supporting the Marina Precinct and look forward to future meetings to discuss our loans, rental statement and future income generating activities with the Town of Port Headland. Thank you. That's on behalf of Jim Henry, the Commodore, and the rest of the committee.
Thank you very much for that statement. It's this particular project you're talking about is on tonight's agenda, and I think it's exciting as well. So it's great to have the support of the of our yacht club. Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any other statements that people wish to make? There not being any, I close the public statement time at 5:43. Do we have any petitions, deputations, presentations? None. Questions from members without notice? There's nil. There's announcements by the presiding officer without discussion, which is a list of meetings and the like that have occurred. Item 9, I declare that I have given due consideration to all matters contained in this agenda. I now move to item 11.1.1, which is the terms of reference in relation to... Sorry?
Item 10, you need to confirm the previous minutes.
Sorry about that. I missed a page. Item 10, I confirm the minutes of the previous meeting. So I support the recommendation that states that the council confirms the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 27th of November 2018 are true and correct record. Now I move to 11.1.1. This matter was rejected by me some months ago and has now led to a better situation being created and now adds to the accountability and a system that allows future councils to have their views heard in an organised and effective manner. The new committee will both have three councillors, and the Audit, Risk and Compliance Committee will have the power to include expert members on when required. Despite the name of the Audit, Risk and Compliance Committee, their job is not to forensically examine accounts, but is more to implement change and oversee developments of our systems. The strategy committees should be used in a policy development. In my view, these are the most important committees of all of them. The strategy committee of council, if used properly, will play a role in financial planning, structural, strategic community planning, corporate business plans, and the review of other plans that have been adopted. I support recommendation one and two on page 10 of the report. Item 11.1.2, which is in relation to a new code of conduct. This proposal is to adopt a new code of conduct. It alters the gift register and makes a clear definition of what can and cannot be accepted as a gift. It does allow councillors to attend events as part of their position, as long as the financial benefit over a 12-month period does not exceed $300 from any one group. Some of the sections I think are worth highlighting for future councils. 1.1, all council members, committee members, employees, consultants and contractors are expected to treat each other and members of the public in a respectful, professional, fair and courteous manner at all times. And 2, relationship between council members and employees. The following is a list of examples of what should happen. Firstly, councillors should accept that their role is a leadership role and not a management or administrative one. And 2, refrain from publicly criticising town employees. And 3, the conflict of interest provisions. This simply occurs when personal interest is in conflict with public interest, either positive or negative. This section can occur with an actual action that is either actual or perceived. I support the recommendation on page 19 of this report. Item 11.1.3. This report is our monthly report and gives a snapshot of our financial position as at the 31st of October 2019. The interesting points are the opening funding surplus of $2.5 million as presented in the meeting of the 27th of November 2019. 2, the 2019-20 actuals, current assets and cash and investments are $252.7 million. Restricted cash reserves are $231.4 million. Unrestricted cash position as at the 31st of October 2019 is $21.3 million. I support the recommendation on page 21 of the report. Item 11.2.1. This is the first time this particular item has come forward. This report is the first quarterly report of the seafarers after taking over the visitor centre for the period July to September 2019. this contract and the removal of the previous operators was controversial and occurred prior to my arrival. As with many things that happen in Port Hedland, there are many theories as to what happened in relation to this. That's not my task to sort that sort of thing out. My task is to make sure that the service is running and achieving the tasks set out in the agreement. The following is a summary of the report from the early stages of this contract, which is the first 3 months. These achievements have been, firstly, friendly professional face-to-face contacts, two, a full range of brochures at the centre, three, booking service operating, four, information on events, retail, local services and road conditions, five, a website operating, and six, a focus on growth of the business. This report is supportive of the operations, and council is working with the operations to address some weaknesses in the delivery of services. I received the first quarterly report on the Port Hedland Visitor Centre. I support the recommendation on page 25 of this report. The next item is 11.2.2, which is the annual community collaboration grants. The four grants approved have all been through a thorough examination by our staff, and I thank the staff for the comprehensive reports that have been supplied to me. The reports identifies the four high quality community supported applications. They were assessed by an independent panel. These funding events will contribute to a positive social outcome and provide support for the community of Port Hedland. These grants have totaled for this financial year a total of $75,025.50. That leaves a further $84,999.45 to be approved in the next 6 months of operation. I support the recommendation on page 28 of the report, and I have to read this recommendation out. Firstly, as I say, I support the recommendation that I'm about to read. I acknowledge the application for the Community Collaboration Grants funding under Policy 6-003, Community Grants Policy, Program Policy. To ensure the following applicants for, endorse the following applicants for funding support. Firstly, Yandiarra Remote Community School, $6,572 to deliver the 2020 Community Football Carnival on country in Yandiarra Community. B, Youth Involvement Council, $10,000 to deliver the 2020 Port Hedland's Got Talent event involving young people from Hedland, including Yandiarra, Warralong and Strelley schools, as well as expending and providing cultural enrichment by actively involving traditional owners and community elders. C, the Royal Life Saving Society, WA, $10,000 to deliver an access and equity program targeted at risk group in the town of Port Hedland and the region. And D, an Asthma Foundation of WA Inc, $9,962, which is pretty precise, to deliver a respiratory health outreach program which aims to provide an upskilled education workshop to health professionals to assist them in managing their patients' lung health and support and information sessions to community members, encouraging them to optimise their respiratory health and get active. I'm sorry that was a bit long, but had to all be read out. The next item is 11.2.3, which is similar to the report from two reports ago, which is in relation to our courthouse gallery. This item, as I say, is similar to the visitor centre. It opened with new operators almost the day I arrived in Port Hedland. In fact, this was my first official duty as commissioner. The report shows a stable financial position of the gallery moving into the second quarter. Broad KPIs and desired outcomes in the agreement appear to be being achieved, and the expansion of the services offered to the community are pleasing. The report is supportive of the direction of the gallery into the future. The Junction Company is an enthusiastic group of professional women, and in my view, they will succeed in their mission. I do look forward to the next period of development of this of the local product in arts through Port Hedland. I support and receive the report as set out in the recommendation on page 32 of the report. So I support the recommendation. Item 11.3.1. This item is designed to allow for greater involvement in naming of places and streets that reflect Port Hedland's significant people and the culture of important places. Previously, the Geographic Naming Committee ran the system, but in late 2018 advised that the state would no longer maintain the register in Perth. This paper sets out the process for Port Hedland to maintain our own list of names and names of places, and to our capacity to name places, dual names in places throughout Port Hedland. This will allow for the recognition of traditional names being acknowledged and other names. I support the recommendation on page 35 of this report. Policy 11.3.2. This policy change will in time enhance the quality of public art throughout Port Hedland. There is, in my view, a distinct lack of quality public art that requires a change to rectify that situation. The two main changes in the policy are, firstly, the change from 1 to 2% of council projects to be spent on public art, and secondly, the dropping from 5 million to 2 million, the requirement for artworks within the private sector, and the removal of the capacity to have a cash in lieu provisions in relation to developments of $2 million. I strongly support the public and private art contribution that helps lift the appearance and the pride we have in our community. I support the recommendation on page 38 of the report. Okay, this particular item, 11.3.3, this report highlights the urgent situation in relation to coastal erosion, which I think was touched upon in your submission. My view is that what we are now experiencing in Port Hedland is a result of global warming, even if some consider it not happening. The proof is that in the eastern states, droughts and fires, and in the west, a severe drought, and in the north, coastal erosion. It is time to start what will be a very expensive process that will, in my view, be with us from now on into the future. I've authorised the CEO to seek out partners to financially fund infrastructure to fight the loss of our homes and roads. We will now seek assistance from major port users, state and federal governments, and remind them of the economic implications in supporting the residential future of the world's largest tonnage port. I support the recommendation on page 43 of this report. The next item is the one that you spoke to in relation to our marina. Item 11.3.4, it gives me great pleasure to support the Port Hedland Marina and Waterfront Master Plan, a project that has had many people sceptical as to whether this project would get to this point ever. This project and your council's support for the project, which sits at $24 million, shows our commitment to the West End as a vibrant regional, commercial and social heart of Hedland. This development will include, firstly, a marine, water-based and associated infrastructure for long-term capacity of up to 80 boat pens. Two, a four-lane boat ramp. Three, up to 200 trailer bays. Four, dry dock for commercial vessels. Five, public access breakwater and jetty platforms. Six, recreational and event space. Seven, a promenade. And eight, provision for pop-up food and beverages. I strongly support the recommendations on page 58 and congratulate all the people involved in getting this project to this critical point. I now move to 11.4.1. This item is about maximising the use of our gyms at both Warrencarra Stadium and Gratwick Pools. The extension of the and utilisation and design to make these gyms better able to respond to the needs of the community. You will note that Warrencarra Stadium part of the project has not been approved at this stage. But some more details are being developed in relation to this particular work. So I'll read out the recommendation as I have to name the company involved and the like. So I support the recommendation that Council adopts the tender submitted by MWJ Building in accordance with RFT 1920-05 for Warrencarra Stadium and Gratwick Aquatic Centre Gymnasium expansions for a total amount of $405,359 excluding GST. Separate portion one only, the Gratwick Aquatic Centre Gymnasium extensions, and B, rejects all responses received for the separable portion, Warrencarra Stadium, as the town is reconsidering the scope of these works. So therefore, we're only doing one at this stage, but we're still looking at that other one. And now move to 11.4.2. This is in relation to the cleaning services in Port Hedland. This tender is for all our cleaning services, the buildings for the Shire, and the old YMCA contracts for the swimming pools and gyms and the like. This new contract under one contract saves the council a considerable amount of money. It is a large contract and the standard of cleaning will be kept up to a very high standard as the community expects. I will now read out the recommendation on page 68, which I support. Council accepts the tender submitted by National Cleaning and Gardening Services Proprietary Limited in accordance with RFT 1819-64 cleaning services for the town of Port Hedland buildings for a total amount of $1,532,400 excluding GST for a contract term of 4 years inclusive of 2 1-year extension options at the town's discretion. So I endorse that recommendation. (Clears throat) This next item, 11.4.3, this item is for the purchase of two loaders and for the disposal of an excavator and loader to Komatsu. The proceeds of the tender, the process of the tender has been completed with, and I support the recommendation on page 72. I need to read out the recommendation as on this particular item as well. So I support this recommendation that Council accepts the tender submitted by Komatsu Australia Proprietary Limited in accordance with RFT 1920-10, purchase two loaders and dispose of an excavator and loader. A, the purchase of two loaders for a total amount of $601,009, excluding GST. B, to dispose of existing loader and excavator to receive an amount of $115,000, excluding GST. C, to supply ongoing parts for a contract period of 8 years plus two lots of 12 months extension for an estimated annual cost amount, annual amount of $10,000, excluding GST, subject to ongoing maintenance requirements. And D, notes that the income of $115, excluding GST, from the disposal of the existing loader and excavator will offset the purchase price of $600,109, excluding GST, leaving a net value cost to the town of $485,109. I support that recommendation. The next item, item 11.4.4, is for the refurbishment of this particular building. This item is to be complete the refurbishment of the Civic Centre. This program has been ongoing and was a decision of the previous council made to not build a new Civic Centre, which in my view was short-sighted, but the process has now started, so we must continue with it. What we will end up, unfortunately, with is a patched-up centre that will probably only last another 10 years or so. I do support the recommendation on page 79 of the report, and because it's got some red lettering in it, I must read the recommendation out in full. Council accepts the tender submitted by MJW Building Proprietary Limited in accordance with RFT 1819-58, Civic Centre Refurbishment Stage 3 Internal Works and Stage 4 External Works, for a total amount of $894,819, excluding GST, and I support that recommendation. Item 12, which is committee reports, there is none. Item 13, motion for which previous notice has been given, there is none. Item 14, new business of an urgent nature or late item. I accept the late item, which is a financial 14.1, which is the financial advice for the period of the 30th of November. So I accept that as a late item. In relation to that late item, which is 14.1, this late item is for the statement of financial activity for the period ending the 30th of November 2019. I think it's late because it's actually early. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. If we hadn't put it up at this particular meeting, it would have been late at the next meeting. So the main highlights of this particular report is the opening surplus of $2.5 million as adopted at the 27th of the meeting of the 27th of November, and 2019-20 actuals. The current asset, cash and investments stands at $252 million. Restricted cash reserves, $244.8 million. Unrestricted cash position as at the 31st of November this year, $7.2 million. I support the recommendation on page 83 of the report. We now move to item 15, which involves confidential matters, and I thank the public for coming. I do wish to really wish everyone a Merry Christmas. All those that are going away, come back to us safely. And I think next year is going to be a very exciting year for council and the town of Port Hedland. So I hope next year we'll see all of you back on a regular basis. So thanks for coming. We now come out of confidential. There being no further business, before the council, I declare the meeting closed at 6:15.